Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Hello.
So we're just gonna get the ball rolling. People might be joining in, and you're here to listen and join in at different times. Tonight's topic is the power and magic of getting someone's world, practices to melt hearts and ignite connections. And on the line with you is myself, Alita, and John Cotton and Mr. Guy Sengstock. I'm going to begin with just a couple introductions and give you the rundown of what to expect on this call. And there will be time for questions and answers. A few people will have the opportunity to be circled. And this is a recorded call, so if you don't care to share your name, that's perfectly fine. Any questions before we begin? Okay. All right, here we go. So my name is Alita, and I wear many hats currently in the world of circling. I'm about to complete the year-long course. Circling has blown my mind from the very beginning, and which is why I'm now really excited about bringing this practice to as many people around the world as possible. I've become very close to Guy and Alexis and everyone in my course. There's been about 14 of us, and we're going to be completing the year in a couple weeks. It's been an amazing journey, and there's so many things I can say about that, but we don't have much time, so I'm gonna just talk a bit about the other awesome gentleman on the phone, John Cotton, being my co-circler and dear friend, someone I've gotten to know through this past year. It's become one of the most rich and beautiful relationships I have. He's also committed to bringing this practice to as many people as possible in a really kind of loving and unique way. He's been facilitating transformational workshops, everything from firewalking to so many gorgeous things. We're all like-minded people and kind of have similar visions for what this practice can bring. So, and then Mr. Sengstock, Guy is one of the, he is the founder and original creator of Circling. He's been also facilitating transformation and empowerment for leaders, seekers, and all kinds of doers around the world for the past 25 years. He's been my teacher and has become a dear friend and a mentor, and he is going to be leading the call tonight. We're supporting him in that process, but that's the plan. So with that, John, do you want to say a few words and then
sure.
You can jump in?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can help kick it off here. So I've been doing personal growth and workshops for probably 25 years and both taking them and leading them. And what drew me to circling is just one of my favorite activities has always involved being with people I like, getting as open, honest, and intimate as we could. And learning circling these last few years has been so wonderful because I discovered that I can create that connection with more than just a way of being, but with specific tools. And I find one of the best feelings in the world for me is being with someone who really gets me. So I'm so excited that that's the topic of tonight's call, how we can get each other so profoundly that our hearts melt. So we want to engage Guy and get some of his wisdom and share some useful tools for you tonight and also get some experience of circling. So let's bring Guy into it. So Guy, given the topic of tonight's call, what can you maybe share, like starting out, what do we mean by getting someone's world and why does it feel so good to be gotten?
It's a great question.
Well, first off, I would say that, you know, I think the common sense notion that we all kind of have is when we wake up in the morning and we press off on the alarm clock, we have a tendency, I think, to think when we open up our eyes and look out upon our life that we just simply see what's there. However, right, if each one of you, if you individually were to wake up in the same bed and open your eyes, how that room in your life would occur completely different in so many different ways for each of you than it does for me. And so the first thing I think to get about getting someone's world is that we all world, right? More like a verb. There's a way, in other words, everything in our world shows up in a different way and in a unique way. And so part of the art in getting someone's world is really starts with that understanding. And because we all have a unique view, when someone actually gets interested in how things look to us, how things feel to us, and even get like at the deeper level of what is it that I value, what is it that I really, really care about that has me, has that world show up for me as great or miserable or somewhere in between. And I would say that what feels really good is that when someone gets my world, it's not like they get it and then I just feel like, okay, they have an accurate description of what it's like for me. Now, usually when we really feel gotten, in the process of that person getting my world, I actually discover more of what my world is more revealed to me. And that discovery, right, usually can be quite expansive. It can be at times emotional in a really positive way. And so I would say that people in general are walking around with a level of loneliness and isolation, because you could say that we're all, like, I like to look at it like this is kind of, we're all kind of gotten deprived, if you will.
That's beautiful. So, Guy, how does that end up creating deeper connection?
Well, I think, there's a lot of ways to describe that, but I think fundamentally what I've observed through circling for years now is that the biggest difference that makes the difference about getting someone's world is that when I actually start to get and what's important to you, in what you value. Like, we all, like, as human beings, what it is to be a human being is to care about stuff. And the thing that I think actually makes connection is that when I actually understand what's important to you, and when you get that I understand that, there's just this indescribable connection where I feel, I feel safer with you now that you understand what I care about, what I'm concerned about, what I value. Because on some level, you've shown that you care enough about me to get what I care about. And the other thing, I think the other part of it is I relax. My nervous system just naturally relaxes, and I become a lot more open to you because there's a level of, safety and comfort. Because I inherently get, I think we all intuitively get that we all fundamentally are good, and that now that you know what's important to me, you'll naturally just have that in consideration when you relate to me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things that I find so nourishing about that feeling is it's almost like somebody's almost like sitting in my world with me, or sitting in the driver's seat of my reality right next to me, and being willing to like be in my experience with me, and I feel that I'm not alone. I feel like somebody cares that deeply, like they're willing to see the whole world through my eyes.
Yeah,
and
John, hearing you say that, I really like that. What it reminded me was the last time someone really got me, I was in a big upset. Like, it lasted a couple of days. Something happened that was really upsetting for me, and I couldn't quite. I got confused, and I had a lot of anxiety about it. And then somebody sat down literally next to me, and I shared, and they asked a bunch of questions, and they kind of repeated back to me what they got. And like at a certain moment, they actually stepped inside of my perspective and described what the world was like as me from what they got. And I had this experience of like totally relaxing, and it was almost like I got a little break from my world. man, I've been carrying that world for like 3 straight days, and it's been hell, and like finally someone took it off my shoulders. And when I got it back, I just had a lot more awareness and just self-compassion and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, and to speak to that, like if I could just chime in, it's interesting how that, since I've discovered what circling is and had the first experience of it, I remember being able to find that connection without even having words. Just actually through, you know, eye contact and being present with a complete stranger, I was able to receive and give. There was this kind of unspoken connection that said so many things. And it's amazing what happens when you really are present and look into someone's eyes and experience them really seeing you, and there's no verbal exchange. So that was one of my first, like, most profound kind of glimpses of what was possible in this practice. That was pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking like about what it is to get someone's world and how it works. I'd love for you to maybe give some suggestions of things people can do. You know, even if they never come to a course, although obviously coming to a course would be a profound thing to learn. But if somebody just takes home some practices tonight that you share with them, and for using it with, you know, among the people they know, what are some simple ways to get someone's world, create deeper connection, maybe starting with like somebody they already know, like a friend or a loved one?
A great question. One thing that I find, it's like when someone asks me a question about getting someone's world or about any of the distinctions, I have a lot to say about it. And one of the things I notice is that in the act of doing it, which we'll all be demonstrating it tonight, that it's more comes out that I didn't even realize about it. So I just want to say that first, but I'll definitely answer your questions and just give them some of the basics of it. I would say step one about getting someone's world, is the ground of it is curiosity. Just like, you know, just really giving ourselves permission to be genuinely curious about another person. And one of the things I find about curiosity is curiosity seems to be what naturally happens when I look into your eyes and I just implicitly realize that you are an end in yourself, and that you've experienced a life that I have not experienced. What I like to say is, oftentimes, is like, consider that, like, the person that you're standing in front of, that they have had thoughts and feelings that they're not aware of, that I'll never have. Like, there's a deep mystery to be with another human being. And so the ground of hitting someone's world is really like the natural curiosity that automatically seems to come up just in taking that position and being aware of that. So that kind of like step zero or like the context of it. And then there's just asking them questions, like from that curiosity, asking them questions. And when they respond, there's like really feeding back to them what they heard. The other part of it is letting them know how their experience makes sense to them, or it's like how it makes sense to you. And the other one is basically getting the deeper context or what they care about that even has their experience be what it is. So that's the part, that's the listening part of it. Then there's the other part of it, which is being a human being with you as I'm listening to you, as I'm paraphrasing kind of what I'm hearing you say, as I'm making sense of your own experience to me, as I'm getting what's important to you. While all that's happening, I'm actually on almost at every step, there's a way in which I'm having an experience as I do that. So there's the other part, which is like sharing what I'm noticing, not only in you, but what I'm noticing in my own experience. They're sharing like what I imagine, right? Different things that mean to you. And they're sharing like what I'm feeling as you're talking. And so those are some of the basics. And when we go into, like when I go into to get somebody's world on the phone call, like we'll go back over this and we'll find the places where that happens so we can see it more live.
Yeah, and see, I think seeing it more live is, I loved it how you described when I first met you, actually, Guy, you were, you explained circling, and it's like, I'm gonna put you in a dark room, and I'm going to let you feel your way through the obstacles in the room in complete darkness, having no idea what the end destination is, or even if there is a destination. And once you reach the end of that little journey, you can turn on the lights, and you'll be able to see all of the hurdles and the obstacles and the pieces that you had to get over to kind of get it. And so as you're explaining this, I feel like once we circle a couple of people, we'll be like, oh, okay, that's what that meant. Because there's someone who hasn't experienced it before. It's like, it feels like language just doesn't do it justice. So
yes, totally.
So with that, is it okay if we jump into doing, to seeing if there's anyone who's up to being circled tonight?
We sure can. So let's
okay.
See. here's what's going to happen. Technologically. So I'm going to put it on. Actually, you know what? We're not getting a lot of feedback so far. So I think I don't even have to put everybody on mute and have them raise their hand. I think. But why don't we just open it up? And if you would like to have a little experience of Guy getting your world and a little demonstration of circling, just go ahead and type in and ask, and we'll do that. And one thing I want to say before you do that is just remember the call is being recorded, so the usual agreements we have around confidentiality are not going to apply on this call because it is being recorded, and we will be offering the link to these recordings in the future. So as long as you're okay with that, we thank you for your courage and being willing to share yourself. So is there someone who would like to chat with Guy?
Yeah, and just really quick, John, to that note, confidentiality is, you know, it's only revealed unless you want to share your name. Your information isn't somehow available to anyone. And the only reason that we share these conversations is to, I guess, you know, not have to use language to express what circling is. Because as you'll see, it's rather difficult to describe. So, yeah,
That's a teaching tool.
Mention that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who has a world that that wants to be gotten?
If nobody's going to speak up, I will.
Yay. I'm glad you did.
But this is Becky from Austin, so I did this last week.
Oh, good, Becky.
So if somebody else wants to go.
No, you started it, girl. It's all you. I love it. I'm so glad that you're back with us. I so enjoyed your circle, your mini circle last week. It was hard to end it so abruptly.
Yep, I'm back for more.
Yay. Hey, Becky.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I was hoping to find out. Like, I know it seemed like I'm imagining you had a really powerful experience. That's definitely what I experienced with you last week. And I've actually thought about you through the week and just have wondered, you know, how that settled in for you. And it seemed like you got a lot. I was really, like, felt a lot of compassion and really inspired after the call as a result of our conversation.
Well, yeah, I got a lot. I have told the few people that know anything about this, I've told them all that it was a life-changing experience. And my experience since then has been profound silence. Like, there's a silence in my being so profound, and I'm just drinking it in. I'm soaking it in.
Wow, you know, just the moment that you said there's a silence in my experience and soaking it in, I noticed myself pre-reflectively just humming. And I felt more dropped in my chair, and I felt a sense of gratitude. Can you say more about? I think you said you used the word silence, right?
Yes.
If you didn't have the word silence, how would you describe your experience of
how
that?
Can you well, first of all, it's a contrast to the scream. Because the scream had been with me and had been so deeply intense that for the scream to be gone was just this, like, as much as I was aware of my own scream, now I'm aware that it's not there. So I'm aware of silence.
And just so there's I just want to make sure everyone has some context to understand that. Can you just share with everyone what you mean by scream? Because we covered that last week.
Yeah. So there was just, I don't know how to language this, a deep scream to be, for someone to hear that I'm screaming, that I am. Like, this deep part of me that no one has been able to see or hear is dying. It's withering. And I don't have much scream left in me. And the air in the room is running out. And I'm screaming desperately. That scream is gone. Because that scream...
Did you say anything else? I got you at, and that scream is gone.
Yeah, and that scream was heard.
Huh. Well, right there, I knew I could feel what you meant by contrast. So if there's this, you know, and I remember last time that you talked about it, it was like, I have this almost, what I got a sense of is almost a survival kind of screaming out, right?
Yeah.
And John really like seemed to nail it when he said, yeah, just a deep desire to belong and to be seen and to be a part of. And that's where it's like where you're really dropped in, and we all got a sense of what's really important to you. And the other thing that you said is when I asked you about what that was like, you said something really interesting. You're like, it's ecstatic, yet it's totally normal. You feel totally normal. And
go ahead.
Yeah, so with the scream, with the scream now stopped, like, what has the silence been like? Has it been like, for example, is like when you look around in the world, do people look more friendly to you? Are you more at ease? Is the sky brighter? What's it like walking around now?
Well, I still feel distance between me and people, but I feel like I'm soaking in every little element of them. I'm soaking in if they put the pen down, or if they go to their car, or if they flip somebody off, or
I totally get that. Is it? I just have to chime in for a second because that's so. I'm remembering coming back after even my brief first experience of circling, and it was like everything slowed down. Like there was, I know I can feel that presence of like actually like recognizing how you have been showing up in the world and how other people like the kind of the way of being that just we just miss that opportunity to kind of be present to what is and how it feels to us and how people feel to us. And we're so, I mean, I was shocked at how the contrast of being like always consumed with what I was thinking about this person, what I was going to say next, what I was going to do next, how I was going to fix a situation, direct a situation, and then to just really like sink into the moment and let myself feel what it was like. And yeah, changed everything. So I totally get that.
So Alita's really, really relating to you. And I really appreciate that. And knowing firsthand from what Alita's shared, that does resonate. I remember you talking about that, Alita. And there was a nuance. There was a nuance what I heard you say that I got really curious about. Was you said, like, I still feel distant from people. However, what I heard, I don't think this is exactly what you said, but what I heard is even though I feel distant from people still, is I'm soaking everything in.
Yeah.
That's so before, by the word still, I'm assuming that you felt distant from people before, but you weren't necessarily having the experience of enjoying and soaking them in.
Right. So Steve and I had mentioned last week about feeling like there was a glass wall between me and everybody. So I could see them, but I really couldn't hear them. I couldn't interact with them, and they couldn't see me or hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I almost feel like with that wall down that I'm just lying on the floor and just closing my eyes and like a newborn that I just came into this world.
Wow.
Only I'm aware that I'm a newborn. And so I'm like, this moment
of being newborn will never happen again, and I'm blank, I'm empty, I'm a clean slate, and what can I absorb from this moment that will be my forever from this moment, from this newborn moment in time?
Wow. Having heard, I'm feeling beyond impressed with what that must be like for you. And I find myself just imagining, I'm looking out of my eyes, I'm just imagining like seeing everything for the first time. And the colors are brighter on my wall. And I feel, I feel a sense of aliveness and an innocence.
Yeah.
Huh. And what I'm hearing is like, is it fair to say that, okay, the wall's down, and I haven't quite, like, I'm imagining, like, I'm an infant, right? So I don't quite know how to walk over there, but
right.
If the wall's down, I can see it. Is that the
truth? Yes, and actually, it's even more particular to that than that to me. It's like the glass wall was half of the wall, and the bottom wall is opaque. And so I can climb over it. I can get out of where I'm at now. I can stand up and see people, or I can just lay down on the floor, not see anything, and just listen.
Whoa,
but I haven't yet stepped out of this space that I'm so used to being in. It's just that the screen's not with me yet. And the wall's down, so I know I can leave. The glass is on the wall.
God, that's so, I'm just, a couple of things. I'm just really appreciating, I would have no idea until I asked that it's like, no, it's not just that the wall's down and there's distance and I'm just appreciating more. No, the wall on the top half is glass. And then the bottom half is, I just think, you know, the way our worlds occur for us and our description of them, I would have no idea about that. I'm just really glad, I'm glad I asked. And what I'm hearing, and tell me if this is your experience, is what I'm hearing is the main difference is that, one, I don't have this sense of, like, my survival's at stake.
Yeah.
And I have choice, right? I can go up to the glass, and I can actually look and appreciate, or I have choice to go underneath the glass and just listen.
Yeah. But, and that's part of, I think, what I'm soaking in is the choice. I can listen to the pen drop or the kitty meow, or I can decide to focus on the mother screaming. I'm alive. That's to me to be alive.
Okay, so now what I'm curious about, having said all that, you know, in a certain sense, so I asked you some questions. I got interested in what was happening. And I'm imagining it's not like you're reading from a script, but in asking the questions, I'm imagining it elucidated and I'm just seeing a lot of three-dimensionality to your world.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining you're kind of discovering that, too, as you're saying it and describing it. And I'm wondering how saying all that's affecting you right now.
Well, it's actually not new, although it is more developed in this moment, because I have been trying to articulate it all.
Would you say the last part again? You broke up a little bit.
So I have been aware of this difference and trying to articulate my world all week long. But it's far more developed in this moment that you are interested in this world over here.
And what's that like? I just got really I felt really excited when you made that distinction. It's like, I've been describing, what I heard you say is I've been describing this world. This shift. However, what's it like for me to be proactively interested? How's that affecting you?
Well, it is profound to me because I let you, I'm letting you do that, and I'm okay. I don't feel violated. I don't feel hurt. And I have spent 5 years of my life eliminating all people. So to now be able to say, not only do I have choice, but I'm at ease with letting somebody else into my world, not because it's survival and I don't know what else to do and I'm screaming, but because I'm alive and I'm newborn and this is what I want. And I know this is what I want.
Would you say more about, I got really curious about, this is what I want. What is this?
The openness to let somebody else get me. Even though that's what I was screaming for the whole time before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was being driven, like you said, by a primal sense of survival.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. I'm just really amazed at just one experience of like that call being heard and being seen. Something in you clicked. And what I'm hearing is it relaxed your nervous system enough that enabled you to have choice, and the survival and the fear went away, or at least dramatically decreased. And now what you're finding out is that what I'm hearing you say is something that I would call a permeability to life. Mm-hmm. like a sense of I like a quote that Tarthang Tolku once said. He says, every experience is intrinsically nutritious, independent of its circumstances or content. And I really heard that when you were like, you know, you talked about like, you know, I don't know, something, the car going by, or like things that are, you know, just genuinely unpleasant. And you choose to hear them. And what I'm hearing underneath that is anything, what I'm hearing you say is any experience, there's a way you can now relate to it that is nourishing to you.
Yes.
Huh.
Time guy. And cool. By the way, that's why I love it that we call it, there's so many art of circling, art of listening. There's so many art forms that can be learned and mastered in a way that, it gets me so excited hearing you describe this after a 15 minute experience of circling. I'm just like, wow, I'm just feeling so warm and kind of like tingly little things all over as I hear you describe it as kind of a newborn baby, I would imagine would if they could. And it's interesting, this is the third time this week that I've heard someone describe circling as, you know, seeing the eyes through, or seeing the world through the eyes of a newborn baby or newborn child. Like all of the pieces have been pulled away that just are no longer important, or not important, but just that we're so used to. So I loved hearing you say everything you just said. It really touched me.
Ditto on that. Any last things? I'm getting the cue from John that we're out of time, but just any last things for you?
No, other than I am just full of gratitude for you. I honor the capacity that you have and the way that you use it. just very inspiring to me. Of all things that you could have done with your life, to use your capacity this way, just very inspiring to me.
Gratitude and appreciation fully received. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Beth.
So let's talk about what you just did. What did you just?
Well, I feel you know what I would love, John, is, you know, I feel so moved after that
yeah,
circle.
I was wondering if you could
say a few words about what you experienced.
Totally.
What you saw.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's like you guys fell in love in a little bit in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So
we never even met.
That's right.
So I was kind of like loosely taking a few notes, and so like, because I knew we were going to sort of debrief and break this down a little bit, and so here's what I was kind of watching a little bit. So your name again, is it Linda?
Becky.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So
that's okay.
Name. Becky. So you started asking Becky some questions, and immediately she said something that seemed to strike us all as very profound, and you mentioned that, and you repeated it. It's like the silence in my being, and I'm soaking it in. And Guy immediately shared impact. So he started with curiosity, just like you talked about. He started asking questions, and then immediately you shared impact of that on you.
Hey John, is it possible to put everyone on mute just for now? Because
are you getting too much background here? Yeah.
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 Do that. So then Becky went a little bit deeper, talked about, I think what I remember is that, like, something was no longer there, like a desperation or something like that, and there was a scream, and that the scream was heard. And then you, Guy, immediately reflected back to her what you heard. And then you went sort of back to the beginning and asked more about the silence. And you shared also what you heard, like, beneath the words. You know, something about enjoy, that you imagined she was enjoying people and soaking them in. Because she had said she was enjoying her silence and soaking it in, and you related it to that. And then she went even a little bit deeper and talked about feeling like a newborn. And then again, you immediately shared your impact, how impressed you were, and some other things. And then you shared what you were imagining as a result of that she might feel more alive and a sense of innocence. And then you asked a question that took it even deeper. And then she responded, and then you also offered appreciation for how her world appeared, especially about the glass. Look at the two. The upper and lower parts of the glass, and then you went to like what I'm getting about you. It's like that. It was like my survival's not at stake. Yeah. And then Becky seemed to discover even a little bit more, or get a little bit more clarification at that point about what she couldn't put in words all week. And then another thing that I see you do a lot that I find a really useful tool is like, sort of knowing it was getting towards the end, you kind of said, well, having shared all that, what's it like now?
I love it when you take notes, John. Because there'd be no way I could remember all of that. Totally. Yeah,
what would
I mean,
for you to lead the circle?
Oh, it was, well, first of all, like getting the opportunity to check back in after such a powerful experience, I just got really excited. That was the first thing. And I was curious as hell about what it was like since the call. Because it's like, and I would say that it's, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's relatively common to kind of have a peak experience. However, to have something, have a peak experience, if you will, and have it be a game changer in how life shows up for one, is to me what I call transformation. And so a lot of what I was found myself really curious about kind of naturally was like, how do things look to her now? And so I felt really drawn into just following my natural curiosity, was just drawn into finding out what that world was like. And what was just, I mean, at a certain point, I just got just impressed with, like, there'd be no way I could have ever known that it was like, well, no, it's not like the wall's down. No, actually, it's a different wall. it's like glass on top, and it's brick on the bottom. And I can walk up to it, and I can look, or I can lay down, and I can see. That's just an example of being, I think, open to surprise about who you are. That's another thing about getting someone's world is like, really, really not making any, like, not assuming shared reality or not assuming what she means or what anyone means, because the truth of it is I actually don't know. Like, she's an end in herself. And so a lot of my questions was just following the movement of different things that she said and also noticing certain things that stood out for me. I'm trying to remember a few of them, but like differences. The one was contrast, which was there was screaming before, and now there's silence. And I just wanted to, like, a lot of times I notice curiosity naturally arises when there's something that, like, a big difference. It's kind of like, like, how did you go from, it's really innocent, it's like how I experience it, it's really innocent, like, how did you go from screaming to silence, and what kind of silence? And then what we ended up hearing was like, it's what I recall is the kind of silence that what I heard is, it's not so much like she's moving forward and necessarily acting any different necessarily, but she's perceiving different. And again, I would never have known that unless I just really, really opened myself to curiosity. So I constantly had this experience of being surprised and being impressed with how the structure of her experience actually changed.
It always amazes me with you just how curious you get about the intricate details of what's going on for somebody and how their reality is structured. And like you said earlier, I think it starts from just really caring. It's like if you're with somebody and you find that you don't really care about them, it's hard to get curious. And you come from just such a place of love and compassion that the curiosity just flows. Like, I notice when someone's sometimes even some friends, they'll be with me and they'll like ask a few questions, like, well, how's life? And I'll share a little bit, and then they'll ask me a couple of questions, and I'll share a little bit, and then they'll go, got it. And I'll go, huh? Got it? You mean you're stopping there? You know, and the sense I get with you is that, you know, if we had 5 hours or if we had 20 hours together, you would never run out of questions.
Yeah, you know me pretty good. and I have to say, John, you know, actually, it's interesting. Like, when I feel into myself, it's not like I have a self-perception of me being an extraordinarily caring person. It's more like when I find myself in front of somebody, I find that I find myself caring for them. It's really like I don't start, like, you know, I don't know if this is just the way I interpret myself, but my experience anyways is like, it's not like I have a big belief about caring for people or serving them or anything like that. But when I just find myself getting in front of somebody, I find things like compassion rise up and care and curiosity. And what that tells me, like what I've gotten from that or learned from that, is that in some way, a lot of who I am, one, is not fixed and stagnant. That when I stand in front of a human being and I really, really listen, genuinely listening, right, is when I really listen, I end up altered. I end up changed through that conversation. And I heard someone once say that genuine listening is the practice of midwifery, right, being a midwife. And it's like, where originally, the original midwives that I'm aware of in Greece, in ancient Greece, what their job was to actually to couple people to then have them get pregnant, and then they delivered the birth. And so there's this other part of listening, right, of being a midwife, is making connections. And so, like, listening has a lot to do with noticing differences and making connections and seeing what's birthed out of those connections. And so listening isn't just like, it's not like a transaction where somebody says something and I'm kind of an empty head and I receive that information and then I say something back and they receive that information. No, it's more like, I think it's more useful to look at listening and relating like an event. And it's the event of I open to you in such a way that when you share your story, that my fundamental story, I'm open enough for my story to be altered in relationship with you. And when you see that, my own transformation in the listening is when you feel listened to, which then again, like, draws you out, and the other person ends up saying things that they didn't even know that they were going to say, and getting things about themselves they didn't even know that they were going to get. So it's like, what I find is that who I am is very malleable, that I find out who I am in and through relationship, and always have. I hope that wasn't too theoretical or out there. But
I loved hearing that. There's some other things I'm like wanting to do and wanting to us to share. So, but I want to give Alita the chance. If you want, did you have anything you wanted to debrief about the circle or share? Is anything up for you, or any questions you want to ask of Guy, or should I just keep moving forward?
But we got to take her off mute.
Oh, that's right, because she wasn't signed in as a... Oh, that's what happened. I'm sorry, Alita.
Okay. You muted me.
I thought you had the ability to unmute.
I had so many juicy things to say. This whole time I thought everyone was hearing me. I feel so ungotten.
Unreceived. Well, we're welcoming you in now.
No, I was so enjoying that. I just want to make sure I know that people have time restraints and whatnot, and you know, you're welcome to stay on and have a circling opportunity with Guy, and we're going to continue the discussion. But before anyone moves, I just want to bookmark that we're going to be in New York. Guy's going to be in New York this weekend for three different really awesome events, and I would love to share that information and the details. We have just a few spots left, and we're calling it our deep dive, and this is just a small kind of glimpse of what circling is and what the Circling Institute is doing. And we're up to some really big things, and I think that this weekend in particular, just because of the kind of hunger and the existing community that's there, there's just so much magic coming into this weekend. So if any of you that have interest in diving deep further or want to just hear more about what that entails, just get in touch. You can find me at circlinginstitute.com. And we're keeping enrollment open for the year-long course until the 21st of November, which is the week after. That's the course that John and I are completing. And we can both say that every person who's participated in this course has gone through amazing transformation in all aspects of their life and has been able to do it in such a rich and supportive, beautiful community. So that's my two cents, but I don't want to go on too long, but I will say that we're going to continue the discussion. But this is an hour and a half call, and if any of you want to stay on after that call, we'll keep it open. We'll keep the lines open for about 10 minutes. And yeah, that's my
great. Thank you.
That's my stick. Go ahead, John.
I want to go back a little bit and talk more about like getting someone's world and what I heard you say, Guy. My note taking again. Back when we were speaking about like how do you do it, and some of the things I heard from you was like. Like a frame of how to show up, like how to be. So first I heard we want to be caring, and that leads us to being curious. And then being curious leads us to follow that natural curiosity and just ask questions, ask whatever we're really curious about, and then really listening. And listening at such a level to understand how the reality makes sense to them. And then sharing back my impact, my own experience of like being with you, and then even including what I'm getting about you or what I'm imagining about you. Is that a good summary of what you were sharing?
Yeah, totally. And I would say the other thing was is like, and it was implicit, and this can be explicit, which is what I'm desiring, right, with you. Because that's one of the key things about circling is it's not like, for example, like with maybe therapy or some coaching and stuff like that, where it's like I'm just reflecting back to you and I'm not necessarily including my own experience. No, circling is like we give ourselves permission to really be ourselves when we circle. So it's like one of the big things is what I want. Like, I really wanted to know what it was like for her.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
There were some other notes that I wrote down when we were kind of talking and, you know, plotting this call together. And I was hoping that you would share some of them with everybody, because I think there's what you were sort of speaking to is like the overall way of being and the overall way of the methodology of showing up and how to be with somebody sort of like energetically is the word that comes to mind. But there's also like very simple things that they can just do. Like there's a way of being, but there's also some things that they could just do, like some things to say that are really easy to remember that they can just like at a moment they can call that in, recognize the moment of when to use that, and that'll change the conversation or maybe take it deeper. You know, like for instance, one of the things we talked about was like setting context, like just speaking out loud. Hey, can we just take an hour and just talk about us? You know, just talk about our communication. Obviously, that's probably more for people who are already friends or loved ones. What are some other things we could do or say that these people can take home tonight and just like practice this week?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is I like that you're asking this because it's yesterday I was talking to somebody who's, you know, he's in the military, right? And he's really into circling, and he wants to come out. He has come out and done courses, and he's really into it. And in his experience, you know, being in the military, he finds himself pretty isolated because what he's really interested in is going deep with people. And I mean, as you can imagine, like, you know, sergeants and military is not quite into that kind of conversational depth. And as we went into it, like actually, there was a presupposition that I explored with him about that wasn't possible, as if circling was this thing that you did in a practice. And when we started to explore it, really, you know, you could say that on a more like it, because what I'm really wanting for people is not just only to discover and get into the practice of circling, which I think is great, but even more important than that, I want this to be able to integrate in people's lives. And I want people to be able to bring some of the things about circling to their family and to their friends, their community, in such a way that, like, the people that you, quote-unquote, bring circling to, they don't even need to know the word circling. They just get to both get to mutually benefit to feeling more nourished and close to each other. And one of the things that we've really, when we looked at it, I realized that there's this, you know, and I'm just going to invite you all just to kind of feel the difference as I describe this. You know, I think that we've all had the experience of someone having our back, right? Like, no matter what, I know someone's there, and they have my back, right? And then I've had people that are in front of me who really care about me, and they're asking about me. They're interested in me. And I've also had people that are a little bit farther in front of me who are kind of calling me out or inspiring me or standing for me. But then there's this experience of somebody being by my side. I just kind of feel that for a moment. Like, having someone be by your side. And for me, when I feel into that, that's a very distinct experience of when I'm really just sitting by someone's side, and I'm talking, you know, I guess you could talk literally, but more contextually, I'm just with you, being you, sitting next to you, just, I'm right there with you, I'm no better than you, I have no particular role with you other than I'm right here, I'm by your side, I'm on your team. I want to see, even the metaphor is like, I want to see out of your eyes. I want to know what it's like for you. And I want you to know what it's like for me. And we're here together, you know, doing this life thing. And so just in context, I think that's really like contextually the first step is just bringing this out in your life is just being people's allies, right? Just being by their side, wanting good for them, right? And also enjoying the living shit out of them. which, by the way, that's the primary thing. It's like, you know, encircling somebody, really, really for me, it's just my only intention is just to completely selfishly enjoy the living shit out of them. and what's really interesting about that, if I do that really selfishly, where all my attention will be, I'll have an exquisite attention on them. And that's what's really interesting about being in my own first-person position first, right, allows me to really be over in yours. So a couple of things is like one real easy one is like when you're in a normal conversation and people are like talking about like, you know, whatever, they're talking about, you know, going out to the game and, you know, and, how, you know, like how the Giants shouldn't have won the World Series and their comebacks and all that kind of stuff. And you may not at all be interested in baseball. However, this person obviously cares enough about baseball to share it with you. And like one simple thing that you can do is just ask them, what is it like rooting for, what is it like for you experiencing, right, the Giants win the pennant when they shouldn't be? What's that like? Like, you know, have you been following them? Like, what is that like, following them? Like, and it's really interesting is I think that people, to be a human being is synonymous with wanting to be, have the experience of people investing interest in you. And that term, what is it like for you? And what is that like? And what is that like? And if you just did that, right, and asked that question, literally, you could literally ask that question for hours with somebody, and you would both discover what it's like being them. So that's a really simple one. And then you can share, like, extra credit. Then you can share, like, what it's like hearing them talk about what it's like for them. And when you do that, you get these, what I like to call, like, a positive feedback loop that happens, right? Which is, like, where I invest my listening and my attention over to you. And when the response is, like, what comes back to me is more, like you could say, more than the expenditure of my attention that went out, I get back just a little bit more, which has my attention go on you more, right? And like then when I share that experience of the impact of hearing that, and I share it in a way that could just be normal, everyday language, that starts to create this, what I like to call is the relational space, the we space, where at a certain point, time goes away, and in a certain way, the relationship gets really big, and there's no longer, like, the relation or the conversation begins to speak us. And those are those moments where time goes away, and we don't know what's going to happen yet, but we both walk away somehow more ourselves from that. So that's a real simple one. And I know when we went over that with the person in the military, it was like a light bulb went off. And it's not like his, because I think where he was coming from is he was thinking like he had to go and like reveal his experience and ask deep questions and all these kinds of things. And like, that just, like the idea of doing that with is, you know, in that environment just looked insane to him. And I think it probably was, right? But one thing you could do is ask, like, you know, what's it like drinking beers with your buddy afterwards? Like, what do you get out of that? Like, what was it like being at that bar? Why do you like that bar? What, like, what's going on with that? And when she talked to you, like, what did you experience? Do you like her? What is it like liking her?
I love that. Just so real at the level of where they're at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, there's like two more things I would love to be able to do on the call, and I don't know if we have time for both of them. So let me just kind of sort of share what they are. One is I'd like to give everybody the chance to ask questions. So that's probably my first priority. And if there are, then we'll just go with that. If there's not a lot of questions, I would love you to demonstrate maybe the curiosity game. Otherwise, maybe we'll do it in the next phone call.
Sounds great.
So I'm going to, let's see, unmute it. Yeah, I'm going to unmute the rest of people. I muted a few people whose phone was giving feedback. Okay, so we're going to turn it over to you guys for a moment. And does anybody have any questions for Guy?
It could be questions. It could be comments about what you saw. Anything at all. The more everyone participates, like the more we're all going to enjoy and get the most out of this phone call.
Yeah, let's practice relating.
Sitting here, I'm finding myself curious about the person with the number that ends with the number 2422.
No pressure.
So we can do the curiosity game, unless someone has a question. Here's your chance, guys. You got Guy on the call. I can't tell you how hard it is to get Guy on the phone these days.
I know. I know, right?
What about the person? What about the person with the area code 917 and the last four numbers 1554?
Okay. Last call for questions. Going once, going twice. Okay, let's give them another experience. It sounds like they want to just soak it in, as I heard earlier.
Yeah.
So can we have a volunteer for somebody to just play a little relating game with Guy for a demonstration? Would somebody be willing to do that? It'll be fun, guaranteed. If we don't have a volunteer, let me make sure we are truly off of mute. We are, okay. Alita, would you
it's
be willing to do it?
Yeah, it's a shy night. Even I'm like, oh, maybe I should volunteer. Yeah.
So, Guy, do you want to just sort of give the instructions and lead it, or would you like me to try to give the instructions?
I'm going. Yeah, you go ahead and give the instructions.
You do it. Yeah, you're
so the curiosity game is just a wonderful. It's one of my favorite practices in guys' trainings and relating games and all that, because it's just so simple, and it's easy to remember, and it's something that you can just use in your life, these simple skills. So the first thing is you'd be in pairs, so we're in a pair, and Guy's going to be the person who's curious, and he's going to ask Alita questions, and basically the instructions would be to just follow your natural curiosity. Ask anything you want. What do you really, really want to know about this person, or what do you want to explore? And you can ask any. There's no limits, and kind of, you know, the fun is to get as deep a connection and into as much intimacy as possible in like 5 minutes. So, you know, we're not usually asking like, you know, what do you do for a living. So Guy's going to ask questions, and Alita is allowed to answer however she would normally answer in life, whatever occurs to her. And Guy's going to be, you know, just sort of attempting to get her world, but he's not going to be reflecting back any impact. So that would be a later exercise. So he's just going to be asking questions to sort of open her up. And then we'll go from there. So the first part is you're going to ask her questions for 3 minutes. So let me get a
time. All right. Hey, Alita.
And ready, go.
Hey, Alita.
What up? Thanks, Doc.
I love it when you call me Thanks, Doc. It gets me right back to Pop Warner football. I noticed the first thing that I'm curious about is when John said he's just going to get curious and ask questions, and so she can open up. And you went, like a little like that.
Yeah.
What can you share about what was happening? Did you feel something?
Yeah, I felt. I felt, it's interesting, I was noticing that I was surprised by my relief in that proposition versus anxiety, which I think would have used, which was, you know, my way for so long. It's almost like, it's like I felt allowed. I felt okay. And I felt entitled, and not in any way that I deserved something like from anyone, but that I deserved it from myself. I just kind of, okay, now's a chance for me to kind of let me be me and tap into what's going on in this moment.
Now I'm imagining, right, John could have said something like, Guy's going to ask questions to interrogate the truth out of you. We're going to find out the truth. And I'm just imagining it would be a different sound that would come out of your mouth. But he said openness, right? To open Alita up. Is being open and being opened up, is that, like, what does that mean to you? Is that important to you?
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, it's always been my way. I've always been very open. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't keep much in. But I have a way of managing myself and being a chameleon based on my audience, based on my listener, based on my agenda. And I'm still practicing just being open without any of that, which is, that feels like a place of rest and a place where I don't know, there's like this way that I feel kind of beautiful in a really strange way. That, you know, it's not about anything external. It's just about my elitiness that I get to sit with. Like I've been given permission, and it's strange to say that I've needed permission, but I guess it's still new for me. So it feels like relief, and that strikes me.
Mm-hmm. What's it like for you to be beautiful and have permission to open and to show it? What's that like for you?
Man, it feels, the first word that comes to mind is freedom. Like, that's my definition of freedom that I've never been able to articulate in all of the different realms that I've advocated for freedom. I never was able to express or truly feel what it was like for myself. And so it was worth fighting for every step.
So let me pause there. So that's 3 minutes. Amazing how much happens in 3 minutes. And so now, Alita, you get to take 30 seconds and just share back, like, what it was like to mm-hmm. be asked those questions, and what did it, what is, was it going the way you wanted, or was there anything else you were wanting, any other questions you were wanting, or how was it for you?
It was exactly as that's an interesting question, because I don't have an agenda going into that way of being anymore. That's a relatively new thing for me. It's almost like I get to like whip off this heavy cloak and just run naked for a second. That's like my best way of putting it. It's like I get to not worry about where it goes, or how I sound, or how I look, or how I appear, and I was actually thinking about Becky, and that first kind of glimpse of what that is, and
Can I just say something? If you could, because the exercise I want to demonstrate for everybody here is you're speaking to Guy, and you're telling him, what did you like about the questions he was asking and the way he was asking them?
Thank you. Yes. Okay. I liked it that you asked me after each question what it was like being after having said that, after having been giving permission. I felt like, man, it's hard to describe, but I just, it was like this softening from head to toe, this kind of very sweet and calm place that felt like I had just had, you know, 3 days of the best rest of my life in a sentence.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the next part of this exercise would be, Guy gets another minute and a half to 2 minutes, and taking that feedback gets to continue to explore and ask questions.
Mm.
So, go.
Okay.
So right now, in this moment, Alita, what What are you experiencing? What are you noticing?
I'm noticing my, like, this might sound silly and I don't care, but I'm noticing my kind of, my true elitiness. I'm noticing that there are times occasionally when I really feel connected to both my mind, my heart, my spirit, my body, everything kind of just kind of, my string gets pulled straight in a really natural way. And yeah, that's what I'm experiencing right now.
You know, where I find my curiosity goes now is, if you can remember back to right before we started this phone call and what you were experiencing, and then we've gone through the phone call and we've gone through the exercises. I answered some questions and then we just did this curiosity game leading right now. Is what you're experiencing now, and there was what you're experiencing at the beginning of the call. Is there a difference for you?
Yeah. Hearing you ask that just brings tears to my eyes because before I got on this call, I was so excited because I just found out that my best friend is. I'm going to have a baby, and I was late for our pre-prep conversation, to which I hold myself very, accountable, and I like to be organized, and I kind of got a case of the fuck it, and was just like, I need to just celebrate for a minute, and I got on this call, and I was kind of all over the place, but still feeling just so much joy, and I think for the first time, in the past, since I said goodbye to her, I'm feeling like all of the pieces of this experience on this phone call and my past year and my relationship and my way of being as it is today kind of just sink in and relax. And I feel blissful at the moment. I'm so grateful.
Okay, let's pause it right there. Great place to pause. And so now I'm going to have Guy complete a few sentence stems. And these are some of the tools that you can use really any time with anybody, depending on the circumstance. So the first one, and I'll give you probably about 30 seconds. The first one is, my first impression of you was, and obviously you know Alita really well, so it would be your first impression when we first started talking tonight. So my first impression of you was.
My first impression of you was that you were so excited that your whole being was jiggly and you just had an impulse to just express yourself.
And the next sentence stem is, I felt you the most when?
I felt you the most when you talked about, when you said this word, that this is what I mean by freedom. And I also felt you the most, probably about even to the first one, when I got at the end, I don't remember exactly what you said, but when I got at the end, that excitement in the beginning of the call settled into a deep peace. And what I sense was a gratitude.
And what I really get about you is
what I'm really getting about you and continually getting about you is that your life continually is a joyous surprise to you.
Thank you.
Anything else? What I'm getting about you is.
What I'm getting about you is when I say something that lands for you. What I'm really getting about you is you express yourself by making really cool mms and mms and mms.
Yes. My side, yes.
I like that. And that.
And those are usually the three questions in the curiosity game, but we're going to add a bonus question, and that's what I'm wanting more of is.
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
With you.
Yeah. What I'm wanting more of with you is for when you're afraid or have self-doubt, that is for those moments that you feel a deep connection to your own ground and get what you said about yourself, which is you're fundamentally beautiful.
And how will that feed your connection with each other?
Like, remind me what
you're selfishly wanting in that.
What I'm selfishly wanting in relationship with you is, God, man, I already get so much. What I'm wanting from you is actually knowing more and just me knowing that you've given yourself permission to want things from me. And I'm wanting you to know that I have a deep desire to serve you.
Wow. That just, I know that I'm supposed to follow the rules of this game, but I just feel like my heart is exploding. And thank you. Thank you so much for saying that.
So I loved you guys giving this demonstration because I think it gives such rich nuggets for what we can use in our life. You know, it's like you can just go to somebody and just, I mean, even on a date, you can just stop and say, hey, you want to play a game? It's like, you know, I'm gonna ask you some questions and then I'm gonna share, you know, hey, my first impression of you was, when I felt you the most was, or what I really get about you is, and would you do that for me? You know, you can use any of those questions really at any time.
Yeah, and I have to say, do it with anyone too. You can do it with the person who's giving you a bank loan. you can do it with the person who you can just see sadness in their eyes, and it would feel good to connect. I mean, like I do this all the time, and I'm just struck again and again. Even like so much, even just in this moment, having been building and creating so many amazing things in this beautiful fury with you guys. And this is the first moment I've had the opportunity to sit and really receive the profound beauty and impact of those words and that experience. And I just, yeah, I feel so grateful, and I'm glad I got to be the guinea pig tonight. Sorry, guinea pig's not a good word, but, you know.
So again, I want to speak them out loud in case there's anybody out there like me that, like, loves to just take notes, and which is, I felt closest to you when. You can always say something like that in almost any conversation, or you can change the words as appropriate. What I really get about you is, what I'm wanting more of is.
Yeah, and that's just a touch of the language that we'll be using, or that is used in circling, and the places it takes you are, there's just endless possibility and beauty for so much rich connection and so many other things. So I guess we're at time. That flew by, and I just want to say thank you for everyone who was able to join us tonight, and these calls are going to be happening regularly, so pass it on, and you're always welcome to listen in and join in, and I would love, both John and I would love to share our experience in the past year of the course with Guy and Alexis, and we're doing all kinds of exciting things to expand our community and play and create and collaborate, and I feel really excited and touched and grateful. So that's all I have. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. So,
yeah.
John,
so
will you help me?
Once again, just some of the upcoming ways to play with Guy and Alexis and everybody in the Circling Institute is you have the New York weekend coming up, a deep dive of really getting circled and getting someone's world and being fully gotten. Guy's year-long Art of Circling training, and it's so intricate. There are so many skills that you can use to take this deeper. We really are just skimming the surface in the phone calls. So it's a phenomenal training. And these phone calls themselves, we're going to be doing this on a monthly basis, and we really want to get have you share this with anybody that you want to get into this way of relating, because we really want to use this to kind of change the way the world relates. I mean, it's like when we get each other and our hearts are melted, we usually have peace and other juicy stuff. So
thank you so much, John. I feel so much gratitude for you. I mean, it's so awesome to have you in our circle and our team and helping find the language to express the many possibilities of what this work brings, work, practice, way of being, spirituality. There's so many words, and so your presence on these calls and in our world is really profoundly impacting and important. So thank you.
I love you dearly, and this is for all you. This is an example of a lifelong friendship that just evolved from being in the community and that Guy's course together. So it's been really amazing.
Totally.
And Guy, thank you so much for bringing this work to the world and for the call tonight. And last words are yours.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, received. I just had a blast and enjoyed the hell out of myself. A couple of things. If you're on Facebook, or if you heard about this on Facebook, and if you could share, what would help get the word out is for you just to share either the link and then plus like what you got out of the call, like what you experienced. If this impacted you, please share about it. It would be great. The other thing too that we didn't quite mention is I also do one-on-one coaching, where I work with people individually in mostly over Skype, and I do it in person. So if you live out of state or out of country or something like that, we can still work over Skype. And I really want to encourage you to consider taking the courses. And they're, in my experience, circling has taught me how to see, how to perceive, and all of our actions are a function of what we see and what we perceive. So the deeper our eyes are, the deeper our ears are, the more things that we can hear and see, and the more we can relate to, and the more of life we can get out of life. So I'm a stand for that, and I really appreciate everyone who participated.
So the thank you, Guy.
Thank you, Guy.
Such deep gratitude and such love I have for you.
Mm.
And just for everybody, again, the year-long course is open just for about 2 more weeks. So call Guy or Lita. You can find them through the circlinginstitute.com. Again, that's circlinginstitute.com. And again, just we joked about this last time, but if you get on a call with them just to ask about the course, most likely you're going to get circled in that call as well. So it's a beautiful experience as well. So
they live their talk for sure.
And the other thing is that
circling happens to be the best way to interview someone.
Right. And the other thing is these calls are recorded. And so we will have the links going out on Facebook so you can tell your friends just to listen to this call and last week's call anytime they want, just to get a nice little introduction to circling.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for sharing tonight with us. Have a beautiful rest of the night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Ciao, ciao. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye.